Okay, in the name of Lord Jesus, I speak. Yeah? Now, I think up to this point in time, you must have realized that even within the chosen families of God, you find that, you know, it is not at all a short supplied of what? Unpleasant events, okay? So many things happens. And also you find that, you know, some of the children within the very disobedient, like Esau was, okay? And you also see that within the family of Jacob's, I'm interrupted. Bye-bye. Like within Jacob, you find that the family here was actually in great confusion, especially in the later chapters that you can see. And some of the wives were not very good. Some of the children were not very good, right? And it's not a short of any, interesting or sad dramas, whatever you call them. Okay, now I want to look at verse 31. Yeah, okay, verse 31. Obviously, because after serving Laban for 14 years, now Jacob had both Leah and what? Rachel as his wife. Now, you can see, you know, partiality being shown, right? Now, you can see this from verse 31. You know, confusion was quite bad. You know, in African churches, sister, in Nigeria, they practice polygamy. Yeah, men with many wives. You know, we met one brother. He passed away already. Yeah. So this happened before he came to accept the truth. Right? You know how many wives he had? Make a guess. It's too much. You know, I remember. I think when we first met him, I think he was about 64. I think 2 years later he died anyway after baptism. And he was a rich man, very rich. We went to an island called Siguru Island. It's right in the middle of Lake Victoria. Have you, you know? How to draw Africa map? It's like this.
What's that?
Okay, now here is like plus Uganda somewhere here, and this Kenya and this Tanzania, okay? This Kenya. No, this is Uganda, Kenya, Tanzania. This Lake Victoria, Lake Victoria. Okay, you know this lake is so big; it's like an ocean. It's bigger than some of the country here in West Africa, much bigger. So there's an island somewhere. I don't know where. Somewhere here is called Igulu. So you have to travel by boats to go there. And there was a brother, our brother, he passed away. He had six wives. When we first met him, he was 64, and the youngest wife is 24. He could be a grandfather. Or even grand.
It's possible, isn't it?
No. You find that I was learned, you know, after he passed away, that obviously a lot of confusion among the children. And so, right? Now my point is, so you find that if a man who practices polygamy then obviously what? It brings a lot of confusion to the family. You get what I'm saying? So the initial intention of God, the purpose of God, is still the best. It remains the best. One man, one wife. One man, one wife is still the best. It's the best. Okay? Well, so you need to remember, you know, if you decide to get married, then you must commit yourself fully to the marriage. Right? You cannot be half-hearted, yeah? Otherwise, then forget about marriage. You understand what I'm saying? There's no trying out. It's not like, I don't like this shirt, I change. No, once you have put it on, that's it for life. You understand?
Well, what happens to this man?
No, you see, because what he did before, yeah, he did in ignorance, right? But we said to him, he cannot add more wives to himself. He cannot. No. The sixth day with him. It's the sixth day with him. But no more can be added. You understand what I'm saying? But anyway, after a while he passed away. And we also met another one in Lume. No, it's not in Lume. In where? Lume is in Togo. Oh, West Africa. Where is it? I know, not Lume. What's the capital city of Togo? No, Benin is a country. What is? Yeah. What's yes, Lome. Yes. You know, a brother called Richard, he had five wives. Five. Again, he's still alive. He's a government official. But you know, surprisingly, for some reason after his conversion, you know, some of the wives left him. Yeah, and some died, and the first wife remained. So you know you only have one point. I know. In the Church of God, you can't do that. One man, one wife. Because Jesus has clearly spelled out, yeah? One man, one wife, and no divorce is allowed. Yeah? Only on the condition that, you know, adultery is committed, yeah, by either of the party, then the marital vow is broken. Yeah? I think apart from that, yeah, there is no what? There must be no divorce. That's why I said it's important. You know, you don't just look at the look of the person. Oh, this guy is so handsome. Well, I see it, I fainted. So no choice, I have to marry to him. No, finish. If he's a bad guy, if a violent person, then you have to live with it throughout your life. Okay? Right. That's why marriage is sacred. We have to consider it and pray about it. You know, get advice from, you know, from the workers of the church. Whatever. Okay, now, you see the confusion of the family begins. Huh? Right, now, verse 31. When the Lord saw that Leah was unloved, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. Okay, now, so she conceived. Yeah? How many children did Leah give birth to? Leah or? Three. Don't guess lah. Yeah. Four what? Are you sure four? Are you sure? How many children? Don't guess.
Six
sons. Show them the chapter, please. Now, verse 20, yeah? And Leah said, God has endowed me with a good endowment. Now my husband will dwell with me because I have borne him six what? six sons. Yeah. Now also, she also gave birth to who? Dinah. Is it also? She bore a daughter and called her name Dinah. Okay. We'll talk about this tomorrow. Okay. Now, so we come back. Now, what happened? If you look at chapter 30, yeah, chapter 30. Now, obviously, Rachel became what? Envious, isn't it? So you can see that kind of conflict, yeah, or rivalry between wives. Okay. Yes. I do. The question is, we know that just now we said the Bible talks about one man, one wife. Yeah, how is it that in the ancient time, like Abraham, yeah, he married to so many wives? Right? Now, I think to me, I look at it in this way. You know, when you look at some of the things that Jesus said, right? I think in the time of Genesis, yeah, this principle was not enforced. You understand what I'm saying, right? Now, I want you to look at the account. Actually, when Moses came into the picture, yeah, he gave them the law as well. Now, what did Jesus say about this? Yeah, concerning marriage. I want you to read Matthew, I think, if I'm correct. Now, look at chapter 19 and see what Jesus had to say about this, okay? Now, verse 7, because the preceding verses tell us about the initial intention of God, that is, a man can only be married to a woman, one, yeah? Now, so they questioned Jesus in verse 7. Then they said to him, why then did Moses command to give a certificate of divorce and to put her away? Now, the reply from Jesus is in verse 8. Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, permitted you to divorce your wife, but from the beginning it was not so. Now, verse 9, Jesus reinstates the importance of one man and one wife by saying that, I said to you, whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another commits adultery, and whoever marries her who is divorced commits adultery. Okay? It's like in the New Testament time, Jesus restated the commandments or the institution of marriage, that is one man and one wife. Okay? In the New Testament time. No, they tried to enforce it, but they didn't follow. But in the New Testament time, we cannot violate, because it's a very it's a very serious sin. It's a very serious sin. We understand, according to the Bible, adulterers and fornicators God will judge. Yeah, when you read, hang on, let me finish first. I know it's a very exciting topic to talk about. Okay. Where am I? See. Class, next time, let me finish my... what I have to finish, then you... Where am I? Sorry? Okay, thank you. And God shall judge, according to Hebrews, yeah? You know, those who have violated this kind of command, God will, hold them accountable. Okay.
And you know, for example, the man.
Yes.
Let him bleed. Say if all of his wives bleed as well. Would he have to choose one wife?
No, because this happened before they came to know God, yeah? Yeah? And that's why the Bible says, when, according to Paul, when you choose a person to be a deacon or to be an elder, he must be a man of one wife. right? Now they can come into faith, yeah? They can come into the church of belief, but they cannot be ordained as workers of God. Right, now we move on. Right, now you can see the confusion is so great. The confusion is so great. And Rachel became envious of her sister. And she actually said to Jacob, "Give me children or else I die." Can you see that kind of how tense the family has become? Right? Now, so obviously, you know, Jacob was furious as well. And so he rebuked Jacob, saying that, you know, was he in the place of God who had withheld from her the fruits of the womb? Right? Now, so, now you can see, yeah? Now, because of this, again, I want you to pay attention to the word, or we can say jealous, okay? Jealousy. Now, you see the side effect, if I use the word side effect, yeah? Arisen from jealousy is immense. You know what she did? Because she has been given a maid by her father, okay? Now, I want you to read verse 3. "So she said, 'Here is my maid, Bilhah. Go in to her, and she will bear a child on my knees, that I also may have children by her.'" You know, it's madness, total madness. It's like, you know, she is sharing her husband with her sister, and that was already confused enough. You understand what I'm saying? Chaotic enough. And now because of this, what happened? She came out with I cannot explain it. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah? I said, "No, this is my maid, please. You know, go into her and have a child with her so that, you know, this child can be born under my knee." What kind of thing is this? Yeah? You know, when a person is jealous of another person, you find that whatever comes out of the mind cannot be straight. That is total madness. You get what I'm saying? Is it not true? So I think, you know, the confusion in the family of Jacob teaches us a lot of things. That is, we must always stick to the principle of God. Stick close to the principle of God. That's the main point. Right. Now, come back. Look at verse 5. Yeah? "And true enough, Bilhah conceived and bore Jacob a son." Now look at the reaction. Yeah? Verse 7. "And Bilhah conceived again and bore a second son." Now look at verse 8 and see what Rachel said. "With great wrestling, I have wrestled with my sister, and indeed I have prevailed." Can you believe it? So sad, isn't it? It become what a family field, or you said what? I don't know how to describe it. It's not just competition; it's rivalry, isn't it? It's like a football team. You know, so, yeah. "I want to beat you and have more children," that kind of thing. You see why? This. Alright, now you can see the change reaction here. Alright? Now the change reaction is this, okay? Within Rachel herself, okay, she actually has caused more problem to herself now because the husband has to look after three women. You understand what I'm saying? It's very difficult, unbelievable. Now, and because of her madness, actually it's like she sparked, you know, some kind of confusion within the mind of her sister as well. What did her sister do? And said to Jacob, "Nah, this is my maid, okay." Complete madness in the family. Now, we turn to chapter 30 and look at what Leah said, okay? Verse 9. "When Leah saw that she had stopped bearing, she took Zilpah, whatever, Zilpah, her maid, and gave her to Jacob as wife, and Leah bore Jacob a son. Competition, not only competition, this is rivalry at its worst. Is it also? We got such a thing within a family, you compete like this. Either you live or I die, that kind of thing. Right? Unbelievable. Okay, now we move on. Right. Now, verse 15, yeah? Look at what she said. Huh? But she said to her, "It is a small matter that you have taken away my husband. Would you take away my son's mandrake also?" And Rachel said, "Therefore he will lie with you tonight for your son's mandrake." You see, this Jacob is like was pulled to different direction. Yeah, tonight he may be thinking, which one should I go to stay with? Huh? A or B or C or D. You know, that kind of thing. You understand? Right? If I go to A, then B will not be happening. If I go to C, and D will cry, you know, that kind of thing. Which one to go to? Can you see confusion? Silly thing, isn't it? What is a mandrake? What is a mandrake? What is a mandrake? I know, okay, don't read on. Read loud so that you can hear.
It's a Mediterranean plant of nightshade family with white or purple flowers and yellow, large yellow berries.
Read on.
It has four fleshy roots that supposedly resemble the human form and was formerly widely used in medicine and magic, allegedly shrieking when pulled from the ground.
And what else?
That's it.
That's it. Not complete. Yes, read from yours. Literally meaning love plant. That's the idea, okay? Okay, that's enough. Hello. This, love plant. Huh? And then, hey, listen, class. This is like the today's equivalent of what? The BP. Yes. What's B stand for? The color?
Blue. Pink.
What's that? Yes, California.
Blue pearl.
Similar to this. It's class. Not funny, okay? To boost your fertility, okay? That's what I mean. Okay? Oh. Okay. You see now? So that's the way they believe that, you know, to help them have more children, okay? That's why they take the what? Mandrake. So you find that the family were out in the field in search for what? Mandrake. Why mandrake is mentioned? Because of the rivalry in the house. Can you understand how serious it is? Yeah? Yeah. You're right, sister. Because of jealousy. Can you see now? So silly. No, that's why if you want to draw a picture of that chapter, you can find that it all started from Rachel. Jealousy. Now obviously you can trace further back. The root is what? Because of
because they didn't follow the one man, one wife rule. That's the problem. Right? So jealousy. Yeah? Yes. No, you see, Jacob also partly to be blamed. He could say no, but I think because the fight is so intense that he has no choice but to accept whatever the wife suggested. Okay, yes. Same question. So this chapter basically is about rivalry in the house. Okay, now we come back. So. Now, mandrakes are mentioned a few times, yeah? Looking, you know, going out to in the open to look for mandrakes. Okay. Now, I want to read verse 22. Then God remembered Rachel, and God listened to her and opened her womb. All right? So she bore a son called Joseph. Now, you know, in the confusion, yeah? You find that God was still there. You understand what I'm saying? Now, why does the Bible say God opened the womb? Right? Now, I guess she must have tried a lot of mandrake or whatever, get the husband to eat one. But she still cannot get pregnant. You get what I'm saying? Right? So the main thing is what? God. This one is the work of God. You understand what I'm saying? That's the idea. Alright, now we read on. I think she must have been praying to God. If you look at verse 22 again, verse 22, God listened to her, meaning she must have cried out to the Lord a lot. That's why God listened. Now, obviously, today is because of the advancement of science and technology. So I think, you know, when we talk about barrenness, we'll seek for medical help. But we have to be careful as well. Right? To make sure that what? You know, in the process of seeking help, we do not go against the principle of the scriptures. We do not end up what? We do not end up, you know, with, you know, sinning against God. Okay. Now, we read from verse 25, and here Jacob wanted to leave the family, okay? So eventually, you know, they decided to give what? Jacob this wages, okay? Now, I want you to look at verse 33. So my righteousness will answer for me in time to come. When the subject of my wages comes before you, everyone that is not speckled and spotted among the goats and brown among the lamb will be considered stolen if it is with me. Right? There's an agreement that all the spotted and speckled flock belongs to what? Shall go to Jacob. Now, when you read chapter 31, it seems that like God has given him a method, yeah, of making or turning what all these animals into speckled and spotted ones, right? Now we can see this in chapter 31. We turn to chapter 31, verse 10. And it happened at the time when the flock conceived that I lifted my eyes and I saw in a dream, and behold, the ram which leaped upon the flocks was streaked, speckled, and grey spotted, right? God actually told him a way to do that. Yeah, to cause the animal to give birth to what? Colored animals. Right? You get what I'm saying? That is from God. God was helping him. Yeah, God was helping him. Okay? Alright. Now, so, now we come to verse chapter 31. 31, yeah? Now, look at verse 2 now.
And Jacob saw the countenance of Laban, and indeed it was not favorable towards him as before. Now, remember I asked you to highlight a verse. What is that verse? Remember? Yes, chapter 29, isn't it? Verse 14, yeah? Now look at the reaction from Jacob now. It was not favorable towards him as before. What does it tell us? Human behavior changes. Right? Human attitude changes. You find that human love for one another is not lasting. You get what I'm saying now? Right? That's why the Bible said only the love of God lasts forever. Right? That's why sisters don't easily fall for any brothers who say to you, I love you, I love you, you are so beautiful, you know, I cannot sleep without you, whatever. Don't listen. Hello. Sometimes I joke with the brothers, you know. I said, if you want to propose to someone, yeah, I will write the script for you free of charge. Because I know how to write. It's not flowery, it's biblical. Okay? No, I'm joking. Yeah. No. Right. So what happened? So therefore they decided to go. Now even the two daughters, yeah, and plus the two maids realized that, you know, Laban had not been fair to Jacob. Okay, had not been fair to Jacob. Now look at what they said, eh? Now verse 15, eh? 31 verse 15. Are we not considered strangers by him? For he has sold us and also completely consumed our money. Yeah? Now, verse 16, for all these riches which God has taken from our father are really ours and our children's. Now then, whatever God has said to you, do it. Because God asked Jacob to return to Bethel. So he, you know, it's very difficult for him. Yeah? Now you need to understand that. First, Laban was like what? Like an oppressor. Okay? Now, Jacob were to flee from him, then he has to face the reality of meeting up with his brother Esau, who would kill him, who would like to kill him. It's very difficult. Right? Sometimes when you think about it, he's like in a dilemma. He didn't know where to go. Should he? That's why he stayed there for 20 years. Not until God spoke to him. Because he knew if he were to go, then he would have to face his brother. Okay? That kind of thing. Alright, I want to finish this chapter so that you can go in peace. Alright. Now, so they decided to go in. Yeah? Now, here it says that Rachel actually took what the household idol. Now, this household idol, some people say is actually an idol, but actually it's not. It's like a kind of family seal, right? Family seal. Okay, and so that's why she took it away. Right now, and when Laban came to know about it, yeah, after Jacob and the family had left for 3 days. Then Laban came in pursuit of Jacob. Now, I'm going to read verse 24. But God had come to Laban, the Syrian, in a dream by night and said to him, be careful that you speak to Jacob neither good nor bad. Okay? Now, so Laban overtook Jacob, you know, and then what happened? He said to Jacob that it was within his power to do him harm because of God. That's why he didn't do it. Okay. Now, so look at what Jacob said. Yeah, said to the father-in-law. Right. Now, if you look at verse 39 all the way down, yeah, you see how much he has suffered. Okay. From verse 36 onward, actually, how much he has suffered. Right? Now, verse 38, "These 20 years I have been with you, your ewes, your female goats have not miscarried their young, and I have not eaten the rams of your flock." It's like he got nothing practically from the father-in-law. Okay? Now, if you look at verse 41, "Thus I have been in your house 20 years, I served you 14 years for your two daughters and 6 years for your flock, and you have changed my wages 10 times. Unless the God of my father, the God of Abraham, the fear of Isaac had been with me, surely now you would have sent me away empty-handed. God has seen my affliction." Okay? Now, up to this point in time, yeah, what can we learn about Jacob? And the story of Jacob. Okay. Now, I think after having gone through so much, he begins to realize that, without God, he could have been sent away empty-handed, right? Now, I think it's quite a life-transforming experience for him, by living with his uncle for 20 years. It's good in the sense that because his faith was beginning to build up, that is very important. Right? And he began to understand God much better than before. Right? Now, I think anyone with a right frame of mind would not want to go through this kind of life. I don't think so. Yeah. Now, we find that through this ordeal that he suffered or he encountered, he was made a better person in the eyes of God. Right? That's why I think, class, we need to understand this. Sometimes suffering is good for us. Okay? Misfortune happened in our family, may deem to be very, unpleasant to many people, but in the eyes of God, it can be something very good for our soul, our spiritual life. Okay? That's the idea. Okay. Now, so they made a covenant, and therefore what? They went their separate ways. Yeah? So they departed company. Oh, that's it. And this is how they, went away. Okay, because I have been told to stop to finish on time. I don't want to be bad to you guys by eating into your times of enjoyment games. All right, question. Question? No? Initially it was like very good, because when he first fell in love with Rachel, it seemed that everything was okay, even though he served for so many years. Yeah, but you find that trouble, especially during the last 6 years. Now, Mr. Wood, okay. Let's say how many years did he stay in the uncle's house? How many years? 20 years. Okay, so first 7 years is for Leah, the second 7 years for Rachel. Now, meaning. Starting from the 15th year, family one. Is that family feel a trouble? Begin. Okay? Begin. Now, you find that within these 6 years, he suffers so much. He suffers so much. 6 years. Family rivalry, wife fighting amongst themselves. I think the worst things happen is in chapter 34. The incident of Dinah, right? Because she was practically raped by what? By Shechem. So it's quite unpleasant to read sometimes. But that's why it's a stern reminder to us, even within the household of God, if we do not hold on to the truth of God, bad things can happen to us. But God is a fair God without exception. And we cannot say, "God, you are my God, therefore you must help me resolve all problems." Not necessarily. Okay? Is it clear? Okay, we pray.